Standing in honor of the word, why don't we look to the book of Mark, chapter 6. We'll be reading in your hearing verses 21 through 28. Amen. Mark chapter 6, verses 21 through verse 28, where the word of the Lord says, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday, he made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee." In other words, he was hobnobbing on his birthday. "And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, and it pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to you. And he sware unto her, Whatever it is you want, thou shalt ask of me. I will give it to you unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask?" This is big time. And this is what her mother wanted: the head of John the Baptist. She hated him with a fury. She hated his message. She hated everything he stood for. She despised everything that he represented. And so when the opportunity came and Herod was committed because of an oath and because of a promise, she wanted John the Baptist's head. And she came straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded that his head, John the Baptist, be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. They brought his head in a charger, just like she requested, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And what she requested was done. Here's what I want to preach for a little while. Amen. Don't silence the lamb. Don't silence the lamb. This little procedure, this little dance, this little drunken stupor that everybody got into at this birthday party turned into something more than they even realized. And it was an opportunity. It was a great privilege for the Lord to teach the church something. And I'm telling you right now, as a pastor, you have to dig and you have to search. I've had my grandchildren ask me, "What are all those notebooks?" I said, "That's sermons that Papa's preached through the years." I said, "It's a lot of them, isn't it?" They said, "Yeah." And the reason is because there are so many things in the Word of God that the Spirit of God would teach us that we're not even aware of as of yet. Revival, revelation, all of that is still in there yet for our taking. And I found something about this whole beheading thing of John the Baptist and this cutting his head off and how she hated him and despised him. And so I'm going to preach for just a few minutes. And I mean that, just a few minutes. I just want to share with you a subject entitled, "Do Not Silence the Lamb." Amen. Let's ask the Lord's blessings on it and that he would anoint it for his glory. Jesus, we look unto you right now, from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from you. We thank you, Lord, for the pavilion. We praise you, Lord, for a place that we can run to for strength. I want to thank you personally, Lord, that you've even allowed us to worship you this evening, that we could stand in your presence. We are awed by your might, your power, and your muscle. We ask you, Lord, to move us with your message now and anoint us. Bless our preaching, teaching, our reaching. In Jesus' wonderful name, somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated. John was touched by Jesus at a very early age. Amen. If you'll read your Bible, you'll find that before he was even 9 months old, Luke chapter 1, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Elizabeth is pregnant with John. Mary is pregnant with the King of Kings. And the Bible said the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. John and Jesus were second cousins. He was only 6 months older than Jesus himself. So no wonder Jesus said there is none greater than John the Baptist, because John had Jesus' bloodline. The things that can be accomplished by the blood. The things that can happen by the blood. Amen. It can wash. It can cleanse. It can cover a multitude of sins. It can heal every disease. It can straighten every crooked limb. It can refresh. It can revive. And it can renew the Jesus in you. Amen. The most interesting part of John's life is that he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. We know that ultimately the man became the spirit that would fall on the day of Pentecost. He said, I will come again. Amen. Listen, the Spirit of God fell on the day of Pentecost and they were filled with the Holy Ghost as well. The Bible verifies it because it said they began to speak with another tongue. That is the evidence that you've received the Holy Ghost. Not just a touch of the Spirit, but you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody been filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. And so, that's what the blood does. It covers. It sets free. It liberates. It heals. Amen. And then John is the forerunner of what's going to happen for the world. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost and all of that tabernacle plan is coming, to pass. Amen. So John introduced him. He brought him in on the scene. Why was it designed like that? Why was that even the will of God for John the Baptist to be preaching in the wilderness and baptizing folks and all of this business and saying things like, there's one coming that's more worthy than me. I'm not even worthy to reach down and unlatch his sandals. I'll tell you why it was important. Because in order to get what Jesus had to offer, you have to first get to what John had to offer. And what John had to offer before what Jesus had to offer still stands today. The damsel danced. Daddy liked it, along with his big wig buddies. In fact, the dance was so entertaining that Herod offered her anything she wanted to the half of his kingdom. Somebody said he was drunk. The dancer girl didn't know what to ask for, so she went to Mama. Daddy liked John. Mama hated John. But when Daddy's not the head, Mama will take it. What a mess that can turn into. Blood everywhere, but not doing anybody any good. Dysfunctional and non-directional. And so then ultimately it comes Jesus' turn to be taken, and he was taken. When was he taken? He was taken during prayer. He was interrupted in prayer by the fact that others wouldn't pray. They couldn't pray. They slept. He even asked, can't you just pray 1 hour? Don't make me get started on that. But let me just simply say, he let himself be overtaken at prayer time. And I believe that the reason he allowed himself to be overtaken at prayer time is so that we would never have to be. Not one individual in this house can be stopped from praying as long as you want to. I've never had to get on to anybody for praying too much, for worshiping too hard, for giving it too much, for just, listen. But I have had to try to push for people to pray. I have had to try to push for people to worship and for people to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. My Bible says he could have called 12,000 legions of angels. That tells me that if the devil takes my prayer time, it was because I surrendered it to him. The reason he didn't call the angels is because he didn't surrender to them. And the reason the enemy can't take our prayer is because we won't surrender that to him. And as soon as he knew that he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the same time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was so glad. His little stepdaughter dances. His wife-to-be or is, shouldn't have been. That's why she hated John, because John preached against what she did. It was all messed up. And so Herod's cut John's head off. Now he sees Jesus at trial and he wants to talk to him. And he's excited about it. And he was desirous to see him for a long time. The Bible said a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have some miracle done by him. He wanted to see Jesus do a miracle. And then he questioned Jesus, the Bible said, with many words. And then the Bible says that Jesus answered him nothing. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because he beheaded John the Baptist. Well, I thought Jesus was love and everybody, and he loved everybody and that he would listen to everybody. Let me tell you this. I told you earlier, John the Baptist represented more than just someone preaching in the wilderness and baptizing folks in the river. He was sent to preach repentance. And when they cut his head off, they shut the door to repentance. And when you shut the door to repentance, the lamb is silenced. Because I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Because he cannot and will not and has chosen not to go beyond your repentance. Amen. And so if we can maintain a time of repentance, and I'm talking about repentance. I'm not talking about words and lip service, but I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about grace, mercy. I'm talking about a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I'm talking about somebody that can weep at the same time they're asking the Lamb of God to forgive their sins and to wash them and cleanse them and to build them up and give them strength and overcoming, anointing, spirit, power, and presence. Amen. I'm not talking about, Lord, forgive me and I'm out of here. Amen. He knows what that is. Praise God. But I'm talking about true repentance. If we can maintain a spirit of repentance before God and a spirit of humility that repentance leads to, then we will not silence the Lamb. But when Herod cut John the Baptist's head off, they silenced repentance. And when Herod wanted all this stuff from Jesus, Jesus would not say a word. You see, it was his plan for people everywhere to repent of their sins and to be baptized in that wonderful name and to be filled with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This business about believing Jesus as your personal is not enough. Herod loved Jesus. He was there. He believed in him. And yet Jesus wouldn't say a thing because Herod messed up the repentance part. And so it is true today. Amen. Without repentance, the Bible says there is no remission of sins. The Lord is not a puppet on a string. He's not a Mickey Mouse and a Donald Duck. He's not a squeaky toy. He's not a Christmas gift. He's the greatest gift. I said he's the greatest gift. And so my message today, and I told you it would be short, but my message today is simply this. Do not silence the Lamb of God. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Amen. If we do not remove John the Baptist's head from our lives, we cannot cut off repentance. By cutting off conviction, repentance, Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so here's the opportunity and here's the privilege. Let's stand together. The only thing that can exist without repentance is the gift and the calling of God. But hear me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, just because you feel a gift and just because you feel a calling does not mean salvation. All that means is you have a gift. All that means is you have a calling. Salvation doesn't come without repentance. Calling or no calling, gift or no gift, all men have got to repent of their sins and be washed by the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that can exist is the calling and the gift. Why do you say that? Because the Bible says that, first of all, and then yet the reason for that is God had no need for repentance. Neither does His givings and His callings. Amen. So Romans 11:29 said, "For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance." I don't want to silence the Lamb. And I want to invite the church tonight to join with me for just a few moments. And let's just seek the Lord. I told you about a young man that's going to come and preach for us this weekend. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had a bunch of folks receive the Holy Ghost and the waters of baptism were stirred with new people being baptized in Jesus' name and families coming back together and needs being met, healing, signs, and wonders. I believe all of that could take place if every one of us here tonight together could open the mouth of God again. And hear the Lord say, because you've repented, because you have forsaken the world, because you have come back to me, because you are calling on my name, because you hunger, because you thirst, because you desire, because you want it, because you feel the need for it, because you love it, and you want to live it, and you want to give it. I'm going to bless you with miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm going to bless you with anointings. I'm going to fabricate wonderful miracles for you in your life. Oh, all because we repent. All because we submit. All because we dedicate again. We cannot cover the need of repentance up with worship. We cannot cover it up with praise. We cannot cover it up with happiness or joy. We cannot cover it up. The need is there to allow the Lord to speak. To allow the Lord to speak. There must be repentance. There must be repentance. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have. mighty God.
No ear has heard.
Mighty God.
No mind can know.
Jesus, speak right now. Holy Ghost, speak. Master, move, touch. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Open it wide over your church.
Hallelujah. Receiving the Holy Ghost. Repentance opens the door. Repentance ushers in the presence. Repentance ushers in the mercy seat. It ushers in the glory. It ushers in the power, the authority, and the dominion. People receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. This young lady wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. Well, what do you say about that? Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Ushers, if we can make sure everything's good to go, I got thumbs up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Mike, would you help us with that? Beautiful. 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 Now let's rejoice in our Holy Ghost of what God has done, what the Spirit has done, what the grace of the Lord and the anointing of the Holy Ghost has done. Amen, 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 amen. It's not always in spit and speed. But I'm telling you right now, it is always in repentance. And the glory of God is here this evening, and the presence of the Lord prevails. Amen. If we could get a lady to help us to prepare her and explain to her what's about to happen, that would be just absolutely awesome. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Jesus, we thank you tonight for this service. We praise you tonight for your wonderful presence. And we ask that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us to let the Spirit of the Lord prevail upon us and use us for your kingdom, that these may turn into thousands that come for repentance, to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of the Lord, we thank you for the evidence, God, of the true Word of God this evening. Your will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight. Continue to worship, praise, and magnify the name of the Lord.